This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
Well, good morning, everybody. And good morning, all my friends online. Excuse me. I'm really happy to be here. And I just received this brown robe last night from Shoho Mike Newhall, who is the, the emeritus guiding teacher?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, he does something. He lives here some of the time.
I'm the old guy.
He's the old guy. I'm not far behind you. And I want to thank everybody here at Jikoji, Annette, Jiro, Nenzin, Ethan. It's really been great practicing with you in the last couple of weeks as I got ready for this. And I also want to thank my my other teachers. I see one of them, Dale Verkylen, Tyson Dale Verkylen. He's online. I'm taking a course from him called The Process of Awakening, and it's helpful. And he's also the publisher of this book, which I'm going to mention a little bit in this talk. And my teacher, Shokin Weinkauf, who runs the Zen Monastery in Dorchester, Iowa, the Rimanji Zen Monastery, and also Rayren Gumbel, who's the teacher at Milwaukee Zen Center, which is where I practice mostly. It's in Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Anyway, so good morning to everybody here, and good afternoon to my, there's my sister, Kathy, and my son, Casey, and my wife, Priscilla, are there. And anyway, and good afternoon to all of you in Wisconsin and New York. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the process, and Mike, you can stop me if I reveal too much about this private process of transmission. It's a transmission is sort of the third step of ordination. Mike ordained me in 2021 in Milwaukee and as a priest, and then there's you become a shuso, the head monk in a practice period, and then you get the brown robe. And Mike says, I'm now a free agent, so I can do whatever kind of dharma I want to do now, which who knows what that's going to be. Anyway, the process involves, what you have to do if you're a candidate for transmission is you copy papers, the pretty intricate papers with names on them and, intricate design. And it was an interesting process for me because it revealed something about me that I didn't know, which was in copying these papers, I found myself, especially this one, the last paper that I copied, I kept making mistakes. And I think I made maybe a dozen, maybe 10 mistakes on this last paper. Just misspelling of names or misplacing of names and so forth. And I made so many mistakes that I thought that it was a failure. So then it occurred to me that there was a part of me that wanted me to fail. And I went and had dinner, and then I came back, and because I thought I had failed, I just filled in the rest of the names on the sheet, and I got them all right. I didn't make any more mistakes. And so I thought, there's something in me that interfered with me for the first three quarters of this process, And then it went away. I think it was satisfied because, I had failed. Luckily, my teacher is an artist, and he was able to mix some custom whiteout, and he fixed all my we together we fixed all my mistakes. And so this guy that wanted me to fail was fooled, and I was able to do this process. So in thinking about it, it occurred to me that whatever this entity was that wanted me to fail inside me, was something called a conditioned state. And a conditioned state is something in Buddhism, and my teacher, Tyson Dale Verkhylen, who's right there on the screen. He's the second one from the top on the right, right under my son Casey. Anyway, Dale and his wife, see him, and his late wife, Renshin Barbara Verkhylen, teach that, and they teach what the Buddha taught. There's three kinds of suffering. One of them is just plain suffering, ordinary suffering. It's sickness, death, sadness, loss of loved ones, and so forth. And the second one is impermanence. It's that whatever you have, whatever arises is going to go away. It's, that is a cause of suffering. And then the third one is this conditioned states. There's conditioned states that are like complex, like a psychological complex, that something inside you, like this little guy that wanted me to fail, something inside you that causes you suffering. And it's, and I did suffer over this. And then there's more than one conditioned state. But anyway, Barbara Renshin Verkhylen, who is the author of this book here, Dancing with the Benefactors, she developed this process for dealing with conditioned states. And it's called, she and following another psychotherapist named David Grove, and they developed something called emergent knowledge, like EK is what Dale calls it, that emergent knowledge is a way to deal with these conditioned states, and it's a very interesting process that's defined. And there's many examples in this book. This book is account of Barbara's reading of the Flower Ornament Sutra, and at least one chapter of the Flower Ornament Sutra. And so, these are collages that she created. But anyway, it's the at the back of the book, the this emergent knowledge is described and explained. And so the deal is, so you start with a wants that you ask a bunch of questions to yourself. And this is sort of like therapy that you do yourself. It's a DIY sort of therapy. And correct me if I'm describing this wrong, Dale, but you ask yourself a series, you start with a what they call a want statement. You say, and so I did this with this conditioned state I had that wanted me to fail. And I said, the want statement was, I call them a saboteur. And the want statement was, I want to retire this saboteur. And so then you ask yourself, the question is, what do I know about that? And you ask that six times. You say, so the first here, and I did this for this saboteur. Let's see, it's somewhere in here. Oh, here it is. Okay. So, and the idea is that you're making these statements out of your intuition. It's not, it doesn't work if you're intellectualizing, if you're trying to figure stuff out. So here's how I did with this statement. I wrote, I want to retire that saboteur. And then the question is, what do I know about that? And the first answer was, he's protecting me from whatever harm may come from shining too brightly. So, like, success is somehow dangerous. Two, I was bullied as a boy. Let's see, I can't read my own writing. I was the smallest boy in my class, and I thought I was smarter than everybody else, and that sort of it puts a target on you. Number three, what else do I know? I'm not afraid anymore. And number four, sort of hedging, or at least I think that. Number five, I need to go forward and see what comes up. And number six was, so here we go. And then you ask, then you the next question is, what do I know now that I didn't know before? And my answer was, I have a chance to go forward without fear. And so that was, I don't know what you think of that, Tyson, but sometimes I get too intellectual. But anyway, I was so then so I did this on Friday. I woke up on Saturday and I was scared to death about giving this talk. So it kind of didn't work. But I said I have a chance to go forward without fear. So, it's a chance. So I did. But the thing, I just sitting this morning, I thought, you can go forward with fear. You can be afraid and you just go forward. And so, and that's how I feel. I don't feel a lot of fear right now, so may happen later. Anyway, so this is, I guess I told you about this book, Dancing with the Benefactors. Barbara had a series of six questions and then this "What do I know now" statement. So I'm really grateful to Dale for this teaching and to all my teachers. And I guess so I wanted to say, I wanted to do this. Was there anything else I wanted to say about that?
Sandokai.
I was going to no, that I was going to say about the since Xinchen Ming. I hadn't heard this sutra before I came here a couple of weeks ago, and I just kind of fell in love with it. It seems so direct.
What page is it on?
That's on page
Keep
21.
it
Yeah,
coming.
that's a good one. Yeah, it's what we chanted before. Yeah, the great way isn't difficult for those who are unattached to their preferences. Yeah, those who are unattached to their preferences. And I love this line. Let's see, it's the good and evil, the line about good and evil. Don't get tangled, be at peace with oneness.
In the beginning.
In the beginning, let go of longing and aversion, and everything will be perfectly clear. Yeah, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, the second verse there. The struggle between good and evil is the primal disease of the mind. It just seems that that is such a challenging world and statement in the world that we're in right now. And I don't think it means don't do anything that on one side or the other, but don't get carried away with believing that your side is good and the other side is evil. So yeah, and then this Giroux, this is a Taoist. Taoism had a great influence on the beginning of Chan in China, right?
Yeah.
And so this twice in this sutra it talks about the Tao. If you don't live the Tao, you fall into assertion or denial. And for the mind in harmony with the Tao, all selfishness disappears. And I guess the mind in harmony with the Tao is the one that does not take a side in the struggle between good and evil. So the other thing I that attracted me about this is my own little struggles with getting ready for this transmission is if you want to describe its essence, the best you can say is not two. And this not two, in this not two, nothing is separate and nothing in the world is excluded. And I think it's a little crazy to think there's two people inside you. And this saboteur and me are not two. So I guess that's what I have to say. I'm really happy to be here, and if you have any questions.
Do you have a question?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I wondered if you would consider the possibility that the mind in harmony with the Tao is what you experienced when you started giving up this idea about being sabotaged or not self-sabotaging. You've just given up and you were actually in harmony.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. The other choice was going and having a whiskey with my husband. Oh, sorry.
You didn't say that.
No. Just kidding. Just kidding. Yeah, that could be.
You called it an inner critic at one time.
Right? Yeah, that's what I was. My subject was going to be the inner critic.
What do you mean by inner critic?
Yeah, it's the it's the guy that says that R that you just wrote is really nasty. The inner critic can be helpful. It can hold you to a high standard, but it can go beyond its duties and
be a saboteur.
Become a saboteur. Yeah, yeah. Mariko.
And congratulations.
Thanks.
I wanted to ask, what other times in your life has this saboteur appeared and been significant in your?
Well, you know, it was, I worked at newspapers and one magazine, but several newspapers. If you ever worked at a newspaper, deadline is a big deal. And you, as the sort of the tension increases to get everything in on time, I would get quite nervous. And for a while I was at the newspaper in Milwaukee, and for a while I was working on the state desk. And so you have, in Milwaukee is the biggest city in Wisconsin. Madison is the capital of Wisconsin. So we had a bunch of reporters in Madison covering the government, the state government. And as the deadline approached, I got more and more sort of nervous and scatterbrained and so forth. But eventually, you know, right before the deadline, everything kicked in, and you had to get it out, and there was no, you know, there was no puzzling about it. There was, you just had to do it. So that, I guess that would be an example. You know, my son works at CNN, and I imagine you have deadlines too, Casey. But you probably handle them with great calmness.
Also, thank you so much for this beautiful moving talk. And I'm not sure how I can phrase this question, but so this technique you just with inner work and transformation, inner transformation, how would you see this related to karma?
Oh, that's, yeah, that's good. And so karma, you know, can be something, as a matter of fact, I should have mentioned karma. That thing where I said I was bullied as a boy, you know, because I was the littlest guy and I thought it was so smart. That's karma. I mean, that's, and my theory is that contributed to this feeling of mine of, you know, being criticized or being afraid of criticism. And so that's karma, but karma can be, Tyson Dale, he's, you know, he says that, you know, karma can be from a past life. You don't always know what this, whatever this, this, what do you call it, conditioned state, where it comes from. You know, you can, I got a theory about where this one comes from, but there may be something more. You know, there's maybe, I don't know if there were past lives, but maybe, and maybe something happened back then. So, but that's karma. Yeah, it's karma that causes these conditioned states, at least as I understand it.
Traditionally, classically, karma is, there's two types of karma. Karma, the word karma, sometimes we think of it, it's used commonly to mean repercussions or effects of past action. But the understanding of the word karma is just action itself or activity or something happens. So that's karma. But the understanding of Buddhism is that it's always causal. It always has it's conditioned by causes. And it itself affects future events. So right. there's a continuum there,
right,
of cause and effect of each action. Yeah.
But your actions can also affect other people.
Yeah.
That's part of karma. Yeah.
And it's also considered classically karma is kusala karma, which is positive karma, you know, actions that affect good activity, and akusala karma, which is negative karma, like you know, you have to pay for your past actions in a sense, you know, it has repercussions. I've also heard that, you know, they'll talk about past lives, you know, is sometimes explained more in modern terms as almost like cultural, like your past lives are what are in effect are what happened to you in your childhood,
right,
and how your parents related to one another and their parents, and in fact your whole social matrix of how your society was, that's all past lives.
I was into genealogy for a while, and my great great grandfather came over from Ireland, and they had from this state called, what was it? Roscommon, County Roscommon. And the people there were had a rent strike against the British landlords. And so I'm thinking there was drama involved there that could have been
carries over,
carried all the way down to this crazy guy. Can I say I see Karen Wyken. Oh, I think she's raising her hand. But I want to say that Karen is my sewing teacher, and she guided me through the sewing of this robe, and I'm so grateful to her for that. So, but I, Karen, are you raising your hand? Oh, I thought there's a hand up. Oh, maybe that's just the cursor. Okay.
Can people ask questions? Do I push something?
No, they can just unmute themselves if they want.
Okay.
Well, that's me in there.
Okay.
That's right.
You could ask those people if they have.
Yeah, if do any of you, and oh, there's Kara Poznanski, who Dale and Kara were going to come out here this weekend. Hey, Kara. They were going to come out, and Dale was going to give a talk about this book. So I'm trying to represent Dale with this talk. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, but Kara had to work, right? Yeah. But if anybody has any questions, there's my sister Kathleen.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I have a question, Tom. Like, well, maybe this is a very un-Zen question.
Oh my God.
Because we need to be in the moment, but what's next?
What's next? Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. Mike Shoho gave me this, he gave me this assignment when he ordained me as a priest. He gave me the precepts, no killing, no lying, all those things. But he also gave me another precept, which was write for 2.5 hours a day. So I'm going to try. The first time he gave it to me, I didn't do it, or I did it for a few days and didn't like what I was writing. So this time I'm going to try to do it. So we'll see. And Mike says, I don't know if I'll be a teacher in some formal Zen place, or, I was thinking maybe I drive for Uber and Lyft back in Milwaukee. And so my sangha, my students can be just the people in the back seat there as they come, and I can dispense my vast wisdom to them. So that, yeah, I don't know, but yeah, maybe there's a couple places that need a teacher, but I do live in Milwaukee with Priscilla, and I'm not sure I want to move away, so. Thanks for the question, though.
Thanks. Congratulations, Tom.
Thanks, Kat.
I have a question.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you, dear.
And thank you for pulling Shoho out of retirement. He's always retiring, but he really is out of pool back in.
Yeah.
So my question is, how long has this been in the works? And a two-part, did he asked you to become a brown robe, or did you solicit him?
Well,
the relationship. And excuse
okay.
me, one more thing. They did. Did they introduce your name at the beginning of the talk?
Oh, I don't know. My name is Tom Tolan, and my Zen names are Kinho, which Mike gave me, and Bokushu, which is I got from Katagiri Roshi many years ago, and he's the Minnesota Zen.
Did you translate those names?
Okay, Ho, Kinho, Ho is Phoenix. We're both part of, he's Shoho, I'm Kinho, and we're both part of the Phoenix Cloud lineage that goes back to Kobun Shino Roshi, was one of the first Japanese teachers that came to California.
And founder of this temple.
Founder of this temple, that's right. And he married Steve Jobs.
He didn't get married to Steve
Jobs. He didn't get, no, he married Steve Jobs to his wife.
Yeah,
okay. To Steve Jobs' wife.
That's his fame, actually.
So kin means something like balancing or even, yeah, so I'm supposed to be even-tempered, I suppose.
When you're not angry or sad.
Yeah, okay. And Bokushu was from Katagiri. You know, I think, it means Boku, he gave me a paper that sort of had all the translations of Boku. And I have unfortunately lost that paper. But what I remember is some of the words for that. I don't know if anybody knows Japanese here, but some of the translations were modest, quiet, exquisite, and a couple other things. But and shu is preeminence. So I always translate it as like famously humble. what else? I was going to say something else, but I can't.
By the way, the characters are from the Japanese or Chinese, actually Chinese characters. So if you saw his characters, you could maybe read them.
Yeah, I don't have my rockets.
Chinese, the four characters.
Yeah. So, and then the other, to answer your question, Mike and I go way back. He grew up in Wisconsin and we practiced together. Well, he would come through town sometimes in Milwaukee. We started the Milwaukee Zen Center in about 1980 or so. And Katagiri Roshi would come down from Minneapolis and visit us and Mike would come sometimes. You were living in Chicago and up in Princeton.
On the farm.
Farm. Yeah. So we were friends back then, and Karen and her husband Tom Roshke were also we were all friends. And I was just remembering with Mike driving up to Minneapolis for a sesshin, meditation retreat, and all talking in the car about what we were going to ask Katagiri in Dokusan, which is your interview with the teacher. So I don't remember what we were going to ask, but I was struggling with a book that I was trying to finish, and so I always asked him about writing instead of about Zen. But anyway, but he was a good sport, and he would answer me to the best of his abilities. Anyway, so we go back, and then maybe in 2019, he was visiting. He was filling in at the Milwaukee Zen Center for Reirin, and I asked him if he'd be my teacher, and he said, "Sure. Do you want to be a priest?" And I hadn't given it any thought, but I said, "Sure," partly because I knew that I would be able to sew my robe with Karen Wyken, who's a good friend of mine too. So I knew that would be fun. And of course, then COVID happened and we couldn't sew together. But yeah, so we go back. And then, yeah, how did it come up, the transmission? Yeah, I guess that was implied that it was going to happen soon.
It's imposed upon him. He didn't have a choice. And he was ready.
Yeah, I would say, Mike, I would say, Mike, I'm not ready. And he would say, you're overripe. That, which to me, it sounds like rotten.
Thank you.
Sure. Anybody else?
Another question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ethan.
It's more of a reflection or thought. When Just to bring you back to the Sing Sing Ming.
Yeah.
And the saboteur.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this may have a connection to karma, but I was thinking that the opinions, the Sing Sing Ming is kind of like, for me at least, what I read in it is like not having opinions, you know, and
right.
not having preference and letting go of. So it's almost as if the saboteur that wants us to fail is feeding off of that opinion that we have for something to be correct or something
yeah.
to be a certain way. So it comes in and it makes us fail and, you know, does it the way we think it should not, it shouldn't be.
Right.
So we think that we failed and, you know, so it, and then when you don't have an opinion about how I've already messed up, I've already failed. No, what can go wrong? So I don't have an opinion about how it goes.
Yeah, well. Right, right.
And it's perfect.
You know? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's, yeah, the guy just shut up.
Yeah, so it's, you know, this, I just found that connection.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's really good. I appreciate that.
There's an old saying that the perfect is the enemy of the good.
Right.
Yeah. You understand? Yeah. If you have an idea of perfection, it's the saboteur for doing anything useful or good.
Right. Yeah. If you have an idea about perfect way it should be,
yeah,
it's never
yeah.
And I would be, my lines are a little crooked or a little wavery. You know, I asked Mike if I should chant while I'm doing, and I chanted with Karen. I chanted with every stitch you chant. I take refuge in the Buddha. I take refuge in the Dharma. I take refuge in the Sangha. So I said to Mike, you know, should I be chanting something while I'm drawing and writing names? And he said, no, just, well, he had me chant this. He had me chant a sutra every day. So I was, he said, you're already chanting. But my chant was, there's a song by The Who. I don't know if you remember, probably you don't, but it was a song called Marianne with the Shaky Hands. And my hands were kind of shaky. So I kept thinking of that song. That was my chant.
Can you sing it?
let's see. Well, some of it is a little, Susie can sew. Cindy can cook. She reads books. Susie can sew, but I'd rather know. Mary Ann with the shaky hands. What they do to a man, those shaky hands. I don't know what they do. I'm not going to think about it. Anyway.
If someone would want to pursue this, yeah, could they
this
could
book,
they have access to that book?
Yeah. Tyson, so go to Firethroat Press, Firethroat, you know, FIRETHROAT, Firethroat Press .org, .com. Firethroatpress.com. I think that's what, am I right, Dale?
Yeah, firethroatpress.com.
.com, okay. And you can order the book, and there's material about it on there. There's
a little bit.
Yeah.
Not much.
Okay. But you could order the book if you want.
And with the book, you can kind of self-direct yourself through this
process?
Yeah,
well, what do you say? You could self-direct? Do they need to work with somebody?
It's better to have one or two lessons.
Uh-huh.
And you can self-direct, but it's easier if you do it one or two times. But there is also, in the study guides on Firethroat Press, a book on how to do it.
Oh, really? What's
Yeah.
that?
It's in there's
Oh,
a
yeah.
bookshop and there's also study guides. If you go under study guides, there's a book a study guide called Emergent Enhanced Emergent
And
Knowledge.
knowledge. Oh, yeah, I've
And you can
got
just
that.
download it.
Yeah. So, what did you think of my emergent knowledge there?
Well, very good.
Oh,
You know,
okay.
look.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jokoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jokoji, please visit us on the web at jokoji.org.